Welcome to the Jerry Robinson Radio Show, where we spend an hour every week confronting the lies of the age. With Jerry Robinson, the Chief Economic Strategist for Makers Group Financial and the founder and director of Jerry Robinson Ministries International, a Christian nonprofit organization dedicated to challenging believers to think and thinkers to believe. As a trained economist and ordained Christian minister, Jerry is the key economic speaker at the Stealing the Mind Bible Conferences, a columnist for WorldNet Daily, and the author of the best-selling book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation. And now your host, Jerry Robinson.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Well, welcome once again to this week's edition of the Jerry Robinson Show. I'm your host, Jerry Robinson. As mentioned, founder and director of Jerry Robinson Ministries International, a ministry that is dedicated and committed to challenging believers to think and thinkers to believe and educating, equipping, and empowering God's people on these very difficult times that we're living in. Many of you who are listening to the sound of my voice are probably confused about the economic times we're living in. You're probably confused about the financial mess we see all around, the political mess, the religious mess. I mean, we're living in a messy, messy time. And trying to find the truth in all of this can be a very difficult thing. We don't even know who to trust anymore because the lines have been so blurred. We turn to religious institutions and see that some of those have failed. We turn to social institutions and see that those are failing. We turn to the political institutions and see those are completely failing. And of course, the financial institutions are failing. So who can we trust in times like this? And saints, I would say that the most important thing to keep in mind is that the only one that we can trust is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that we can stake our whole future on is the Word of God. And that is why we turn to that each and every day as we try to decipher the times. The Bible tells us that we have to watch and be sober and let no man deceive you as we see the hour and day approaching ever more nearly. And so I am grateful to be here on the air with you, a weekly radio program here, The Jerry Robinson Show, intentionally designed to educate, equip, and empower you, the listener, on a very important geopolitical, economic, and cultural trends that are literally reshaping our world each and every day. Just a couple of announcements. We have a fantastic show for you today. But I just got to say, there's a couple of announcements I wanted to make before we get the show on the road. First of all, this week we are finally releasing for our very first issue something called Follow the Money Quarterly. It's a brand new ministry newsletter that we have been working hard on in the background for many weeks now. Actually, it's been months in preparation. And it's a brand new newsletter that's going to be covering all kinds of important financial, economic trends from a biblical perspective, helping you understand what you need to know about this crisis, about the chaos, and actually how not only can you protect yourself, but actually how you can profit from it. There'll be some really good information in this Follow the Money Quarterly newsletter. And we're going to spend some time later on in the program talking about that. Actually, it's free. We're making this newsletter free to all of our ministry partners. And we'll talk about more about that later on in the program. Each and every week, I'll be joined by one of the original coordinators of the National Tea Party Movement and the Community and Outreach and New Media Director for JRMI. Let me introduce my good friend, Jay Blevins. Jay, great to have you back. You were sick last week.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better this week, Jerry, and thanks again for having me on the show. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be here on the Jerry Robinson Show. I'm really glad to be back, and we have a really awesome show this week. Our special guest interview is with a financial advisor and the president of High Street Securities, John Terry, and he's here to talk with us about an update on the state of the U.S. economy, and you definitely don't want to miss that. And then, of course, Jerry, like you alluded to, you'll be introducing the brand new quarterly financial newsletter, the Follow the Money Quarterly, or FTM Quarterly for short, and that's jam-packed with personal financial strategies for thriving in these economic times, economic trends, analysis, and insights. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal newsletter. I'm really excited about that. And of course, as always, we're going to start with our weekly wrap. Welcome to the Weekly Wrap, where each week we get Jerry's analysis of some of the most important and pressing news stories from around the globe. Our first story this week comes off the AP Wire in Washington, D.C. It says here the SEC is looking into accounting at 19 of the biggest banks. The Securities and Exchange Commission is examining whether any of the 19 largest U.S. banks are using an accounting trick that a bankruptcy examiner has said led to the collapse of Lehman Brothers SEC Chairman Mary Schapiro said this on Tuesday. Now, Schapiro testified at a congressional hearing that the SEC is scrutinizing Lehman's use of the accounting move known as Repo 105 that allowed it to mask its weakness before it failed. And Jerry, what is Repo 105? I mean, that sounds like a bad sci-fi movie.
Well, many people were clueless as to how Lehman Brothers, which is a 158-year-old investment banking firm, how Lehman was able to issue reassuring figures to investors all the way up until the day till it just utterly collapsed back in 2008. Lehman's collapse was the biggest corporate bankruptcy in history, and it sent the global financial system into a near-apocalyptic meltdown. In the wake of the disaster, the truth about the accounting shenanigans, as you're talking about, employed by Lehman, is beginning to emerge. Thanks in large part to bankruptcy examiner Anton Valuka, who has produced an enormous 2,200-page autopsy on the bank. In the report, Valuka describes Lehman's use of tricky accounting practices, such as the now infamous sleight-of-hand accounting trick known as Repo 105. Jay, basically, in essence, Repo 105 was a trick that allowed Lehman to sell packages of mortgages, treasury bonds, euro bonds, Canadian government instruments on a temporary basis. So they would sell them at the end of an accounting quarter with an obligation to buy them back a few weeks later. And these deals amounted to $50 billion allowing Lehman to basically publish healthier accounts than it really had. Now, the SEC, and this is the damage here, this is what we're looking at now, the SEC is looking into 19 of the largest banks to see whether they're employing some of the same accounting tricks, such as this Repo 105. And it just goes to show, Jay, how out of control our current banking and monetary system is. Today, thanks to the fractional reserve banking system that we've talked about in bankruptcy of our nation and here even our program, banks can virtually operate without any reserve requirements. They can create money out of thin air. They can actually log loans and customer deposits as assets on their books. The modern banking system is plagued with opportunity. It's rife for fraud, despite the heavy regulation that they face. These bankers always are finding some loophole to further their profits. Henry Ford once said this, Jay. He said, "It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." Jay, there may be a revolution on the horizon.
Yeah, Jerry, if these other banks have been using this accounting trick, is it going to cause another massive economic bubble to burst? Or do you think Washington's going to step in and prop them up with the too big to fail mantra?
Jay, there's certainly a day of reckoning that's on the horizon. We know that the banking system simply is unsustainable the way that it's set up. Based upon the fractional reserve banking system, the banks are basically bankrupt. That's why the FDIC is there to infuse cash in the event of a bank run. As the people begin to wake up to the whole scheme, this is what happens all through history. They're going to figure it out, and banks are going to be hurt. Now, the SEC is digging into this information with these 19 largest banks. This could prove very, very negative if they find that these banks are using some of these same loopholes. Jay?
Pitchforks and torches.
Could be.
All right. Our next story comes over from Iceland. This has been the big story of the last week and a half or so. And now they're saying there's a threat of a new, larger Icelandic eruption. Coming from Reykjavik, Iceland, for all the worldwide chaos that Iceland's volcano has already created, it may just be the opening act. Scientists fear tremors at the Icelandic volcano could trigger an even more dangerous eruption at the nearby Katla volcano, creating a worst-case scenario for the airline industry and travelers around the globe. A Katla eruption would be 10 times stronger and shoot higher and larger plumes of ash into the air than its smaller neighbor, which has already brought European air travel to a standstill for the last week or so and promises severe travel delays for many days more. Now, Jerry, I'm hearing that some of these airlines are on the brink of bankruptcy already due to the week of no operations. If this second volcano erupts, are we looking at widespread collapse of the European airline industries?
Jay, I mean, who would have thought that a volcano on faraway Iceland could have such potentially drastic impacts upon the global economy? Nevertheless, reports are coming out, as you mentioned, that this Icelandic volcano has brought that air travel to a virtual standstill in much of Europe. The flight disruptions from the volcano have cost the airline industry an estimated $200 million per day. 750,000 passengers are stranded right now. And so far, the cumulative losses stand at well over $1.7 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Five European airlines are facing bankruptcy. I'm sure that number will continue to increase if these if this doesn't get remedied quickly. The European airline industry is now seeking government aid, which is all the cash-strapped EU needs right now is more bailouts. And if reading Icelandic history is any indication, the problem is getting ready to get worse. As you mentioned, historically speaking, the last three times that this particular volcano that's erupted has done so, another neighboring volcano named Katla, as you called it, did as well. Katla has erupted 16 times since the year 930 AD. In 1755, exploding so violently that its ash settled in parts of Scotland. In fact, Katla also typically awakens about every 80 years or so, and having last exploded in 1918, it's now slightly overdue. But as you mentioned, here's the problem. An eruption of Katla would be 10 times stronger. It would shoot much larger. And obviously, this would be a truly worst-case scenario for the European airlines and travelers. This is a really tough story, a bizarre story, and we're keeping our eyes on this one, Jay.
Absolutely. And Jerry, with the onslaught of the volcanic eruptions and earthquakes in recent months, are we seeing the onset of the fulfillment of the end-time prophecies?
You know, there's been a lot of things happening around the globe. We have earthquakes in China. We had an earthquake in Tennessee the other day. We have this, of course, happening here. The Bible talks about birth pangs, and of course, any woman who's been through pregnancy knows that birth pangs, as they get closer together, obviously the baby is getting closer, and that's exactly what Jesus meant when he says, when you see these things all begin to happen, and just like birth pangs, they will become closer and closer together. We're seeing a lot of these things happening all around the globe. People always say when they see a volcano or they see an earthquake, they say, oh, is it the end times? Folks, we're seeing a lot of this happening over and over and over again. This is certainly now a time to be lifting up our head because our redemption is drawing nearer than it ever has.
Absolutely. Jay. They're getting closer and closer together. All right. And what would the weekly wrap be without a story from China? We've got this one here. It says the Saudis are tightening their China energy ties to reduce their U.S. independence, or U.S. dependence. China, the world's second largest oil consumer, and Saudi Arabia, holder of about a fifth of the global crude reserves, are forging ever closer ties as the Persian Gulf Kingdom responds to a Chinese drive to feed its rising energy needs. China, in November, overtook the U.S. as the main buyer of Saudi oil, and Saudi Arabian Oil Company and Saudi Basic Industries Corp. are investing in refinery and petrochemicals projects in China. Now, Jerry, are the fears overblown on this? I mean, China only makes up about 10% of global oil demand, right?
Well, it's no secret that China's oil demand is growing. It is only currently 10%, but it's growing as a nation continues its upward path towards economic and political dominance. You know, many are fearing that China is going to be the next great empire to replace the United States. China's oil consumption grew 12.8% year over year in March. This is about the same growth rate as the country reported for its GDP in the first quarter of 2010, which was close to 12%. But what's fascinating is that when you compare China's increase in oil consumption to the increase in the global oil supply year over year, according to the IEA, the International Energy Agency, the world's oil supply is expected to grow by 1.53% this year as opposed to last year, so year over year. So China's oil demand grew by 12.8%, while global oil supplies grew by a much smaller 1.53%. The writing's on the wall. Fortunately, China currently only makes up, as you mentioned, 10% of global oil demand. But as their economy continues to expand, that number will become much, much larger. Now, oil is the lifeblood of today's global economy, and China is no exception. China's entire infrastructure and its continued growth is dependent upon increasing supplies of cheap oil. And who better than the Saudis, the world's number one producer of oil, to have as their ally? Now, this partnership is mutually beneficial. China benefits from stable and secure supplies of oil. Saudis benefit from tapping more Asian markets to export its precious and lucrative export. And with this new partnership, the Saudis are able to decrease their dependence upon U.S. demand, right? And unlike the complex political issues that exist between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, the Saudi-Chinese agreement is based almost strictly upon business. So there are much fewer political considerations to take into consideration. But in some other related news, and this came out this week, Jay, top U.S. military officials are warning that the U.S. could be facing some severe oil shortages by 2015. The report issued by the U.S. Joint Forces Command states that by 2012, surplus oil production capacity could entirely disappear, and as early as 2015, the shortfall in output could reach nearly 10 million barrels per day. Jay, I've been warning about declining U.S. and global oil supplies for some time now. I truly believe that we are heading towards a time of what the author Michael Clare calls resource wars, where nations struggle over the dwindling natural resources that our entire global infrastructure has become dependent upon. As always, We will keep our eyes on this developing story.
Yep, and as always, China and oil, two of the hottest topics here on the Jerry Robinson Show. All right, and finally, an interesting story about one of America's best-known companies, GE. 7,000 tax returns, $0 U.S. tax bill. General Electric filed more than 7,000 income tax returns in hundreds of global jurisdictions last year, but when push came to shove, the company owed the U.S. government a whopping bill of $0. Now, how did it pull off that trick? By losing lots of money. Jerry, is this an indication of how bad things are getting economically when GE reports a loss in the U.S.?
Well, Jay, GE had plenty of earnings, just not in the U.S. You know, for tax purposes, the company's U.S. operations lost $408 million, but its international business netted $10.8 billion. Profit, right? So you begin to say, is this kind of funny accounting? Is this where they're basically kind of learning how the whole game works? Now, this is what the Ann Eisel, who is GE's Director of Financial Communications, said via email in a report. She said, this is the first time in at least decades that GE has reported negative U.S. pre-tax income, and it reflects the worst economy since the Great Depression. Now, it's possible that what we're seeing here is that the impact is obviously affecting their bottom line. GE was not alone, by the way, and it's zero U.S. tax liability this year. Bank of America also reported a zero U.S. tax liability. Just think about how bad the timing is in all this with our cash-starved government. They're waiting on these tax returns. Normally, they get nice amounts of money.
And they're getting nothing from some of the biggest companies in America.
Buckets of money from these companies who make massive profits within the borders of the United States, and now they're not getting any money. The government has just a small handful of economic choices in the long run. They can cut government spending, they can raise taxes, they can borrow more money, or they can print more money. And if history is any indication, they will probably rely on the last three with a vengeance. They're going to raise taxes, they're going to borrow more, and they're going to print more money, because why in the world would they cut government spending?
Oh, wow. All right, well, on the other side of this break, we have Jerry's interview with John Terry of High Street Securities. And thank you for listening to the Jerry Robinson Show.
The United States of America is in a state of financial emergency. Today, America's deficits are hitting all-time highs, the global credit crisis continues to worsen, and the U.S. money supply is expanding at a record pace, triggering widespread fears of coming inflation. How did America reach this level of economic chaos, and what can you do to protect yourself and your finances? In this hard-hitting 60-minute live presentation, well-known economist and best-selling author Jerry Robinson explains the real truth behind the falling U.S. dollar. You will learn, from a historical and political perspective, what is really happening to the U.S. dollar, why the U.S. dollar is on the brink of collapse, how the fall of the U.S. dollar may be leading to a one-world currency, when to expect the U.S. dollar to completely lose its value, and finally, you will learn where to invest in order to protect your finances from the coming collapse of the U.S. dollar. You cannot afford to miss this important presentation on one of the most pressing topics of our day. Arm yourself with the powerful information you need to protect yourself in these uncertain times. Order your copy of Jerry Robinson's latest DVD, Death of the Dollar, today. Call 918-827-JRMI. That's 918-827-5764. Or go online at www.jrmi.org.
Well, welcome back to the Jerry Robinson Show. I'm your host, Jerry Robinson, founder and director of Jerry Robinson Ministries International, leading you on an excursion to truth here every single week on the Jerry Robinson Show, on the web at www.jrmi.org, on oneplace.com, and on truthandfocus.org. Here, challenging believers to think and thinkers to believe. Well, few would argue that we may be living through the most complex and confusing financial times in all of history, and the complexities of today's financial environment can make it especially challenging for average, everyday individuals trying to determine how to navigate their own finances through these treacherous economic waters. Here to make some sense of the economic news of the week and of the month and of the year is our guest, John Terry. John is a seasoned financial advisor and he is the president of High Street Securities. He's also the chief estate planner with First Estate Trust, and he is a top advisor with the Christian Financial Advisor Network. In addition, John is an ordained minister and the author of Dollars and Cents, A Kingdom Perspective on Finances. John, welcome to the Jerry Robinson Show. Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join me today.
Jerry, it's an honor to be with you and your guests today.
I've been reading a lot, John, about something that has been going on in the ranks of Washington as they're beginning to talk about a brand new tax. I mean, we have been saying here for some time that the government only has a few choices. It appears they may be looking at adding another tax to raise more money because they're cash-strapped. And they've been talking about something called the VAT. Now, Europe is very familiar with the VAT, the V-A-T, but it stands for value-added tax. Now, would you tell our listeners what is the value-added tax?
Absolutely. Jerry, a value-added tax, in kind of a nutshell, is a surcharge that's levied on an item as it goes through the various phases of production, so that the government can collect taxes on each improvement or enhancement that takes place as a product starts as a raw material and is developed for an ultimate sale to the end user customer. Every time an item is sold to the next level of production, a tax is collected and is paid to the government. That cost is then added to the next phase of the production status, with the end user customer ultimately paying an increased cost to cover all of the value-added charges that have taken place along the way. So, in a sense, a value-added tax is a national sales tax. As you mentioned, it's very common in Europe. Some recent study that I've been doing on the VAT shows that in France alone, the value-added tax accounts for almost 50% of all revenues collected by the government of France to fund their ongoing socialistic program that they have.
50%. That is staggering. Now, I mean, that's really all we need. I mean, we have listed over and over the number of taxes that the United States citizens have to pay. And I know it's a typical thing to say, well, you know, we simply don't want to pay more tax. Everybody's obviously on that bandwagon. But I mean, this seems a little difficult. What are some of the implications to some of the middle and lower income taxpayers in America should a VAT, a value-added tax, be introduced? What kind of impact is this going to have?
This is going to have a significant impact in a very negative way, especially on middle and income Americans, which President Obama, as candidate Obama, promised that he would protect. And the reason for it is this. Middle and income families, as a general rule of thumb, spend a greater portion of their income on necessary goods and services to survive and to function in today's society. All of these items that are taxed under a VAT, the cost associated with these goods and services, by some estimates that are coming out of D.C. now, as much as a 15 to 20% value-added tax. Imagine what a 15 to 20% increase is going to be to the cost of clothes for your children, to the cost of food that you have to eat, to the cost of the household products that you have to buy to clean and to sanitize and to deal with garbage and other things in your home, the cost of dog food, the cost of gasoline, the cost of other things that we have. This is going to negatively impact families in a very powerful way each and every month. Couple this with the states that we see that are just going belly up left and right with respect to their ability to raise revenues, and we're seeing a number of states start to raise taxes. So because of this, each new government intrusion into our pocketbook to pay for such things as universal health care, to pay for such things as reducing the deficit through a value-added tax is going to place an even greater burden on families that are already struggling to meet, you know, the month and to handle the financial affairs of each month. It's going to negatively impact them in a very, very powerful way.
You made an interesting point because I remember this. President Barack Obama did promise not to raise taxes on the middle and lower class, and this value-added tax basically violates that, doesn't it? I mean, it's a violation.
Yes, Jerry, it is. And it's interesting if you listen to the words coming out of Washington, and it's very, very important that your listeners understand you've got to listen closely to the words that are being said. If we go back to candidate Barack Obama, he promised not to raise taxes on the middle or lower income classes. I will not raise your taxes. And he goes through a list of income taxes, say, that, la, da, da. He goes through this entire list. Now, as president, if you listen to what he's saying now and the words coming out of Washington now, I will not raise income taxes. We go back to the candidate. He says, I will not raise taxes, period. Now the verbiage has changed. when they've seen this huge monstrosity they created with, you know, universal health care, this huge monstrosity with all of this government spending that's out of control. And now the verbiage has changed because they understand that they can't get all the money they need to fund their socialistic programs from the rich. The rich simply don't have enough money to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So if we listen closely to the words being spoken, we understand how the message is being changed. We see now that they're sending subtle signals that the stage is set for the implementation of other taxes besides income taxes to pay for this insanity that we call Washington, D.C. spending. Mm.
Well, and these same folks are the ones who are now implementing quote-unquote financial reform. I mean, I don't know what reform is. I mean, what exactly do you think is happening behind the scenes in Washington as far as financial reform goes? Do you think putting financial reform in the hands of these politicians is a good thing?
No, I really don't. I was reading an article that was put out by a good friend out of the West Coast, and he had an opportunity to review this litigation with the SEC. And an interesting comment that he made is this. Says, as I read the SEC press filing on Friday charging Goldman with fraud, I couldn't help but laugh and wonder if they contacted Mario Puzo from the Godfather movie and asked for advice on how to get the swirling controversy around them to subside. The fraud charges are comical at best due to the fact that only one person from Goldman was named in the SEC indictment. And now, Jerry, get this. It was a single junior vice president named Fabrice Tour who was named in the SEC complaint. Mm. And this is a 31-year-old low-level manager. Mm-mm-mm. And can you imagine that this one man is the only one that's going to be indicted for committing all of these, quote, crimes without oversight permission of the higher-ups?
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
But financial reform that we're talking about is not a change in the way business is done in the financial industry. It is a change of who oversees this. The big push that we're seeing, just like with healthcare, trying to take over a sixth of our economy, outside of the technology sector, the financial industry sector of our economy generated the majority of jobs in the last 25 years. And now this financial reform, they want to take all of the financial reform for banking, securities, insurance, and all of these related services and put them under the oversight of one branch of government, and that is the executive branch of government, which means Congress has no say. The courts have no say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dangerous what we deal with this. And rather than blaming the people responsible, they're looking to take over and to take control, much more a socialistic type regime than a true democracy that we're supposed to be living in these United States.
Well, I mean, talk to us about that. I mean, you have alluded to the fact that, you know, we're talking about a King Barack or a King Obama. You know, why is it bad for a single branch of government to have control over a private sector industry like banking or healthcare? I mean, what is that?
Well, we have only to go back and look at history to see why. When our founders established the Constitution, they established our Constitution, our framing document for governing these United States, with a series of checks and balances. No branch of government was to have single oversight and to be able to operate independently from checks and balances and accountability to the other branches of government. When we place a single branch of government, such as the executive branch with the president and the group that works with him, in direct oversight of any industry, be it financial services, be it healthcare, be it the takeover of the student loan program, or any other part of the private economy, we're moving away from democratic rule and we're moving towards socialistic, communistic type governmental intrusion as the government becoming the sole arbitrator of commerce in a nation, determining how much you will charge, what you will be paid, what services you can offer. If now they think your business is too big, they can break it up, they can sell off the component pieces at a price they deem is fair. Private enterprise at this point is gone, and we now become a socialistic, communistic type nation.
It's amazing how many people don't see this, John. It's amazing. I mean, we are literally seeing the free markets just ripped to shreds, private enterprise being attacked, and it's all underneath the banner of, financial reform, and the recovery is here, and they're taking new steps. It really is kind of a new deal that Obama is making with America, and apparently the Americans are, as long as they can keep their flat screen TVs, as long as they can keep their nice cars and their nice homes, as long as they don't get foreclosed on, it seems like they're willing to give up almost anything.
Well, if we think about the fact that almost half of Americans paid no income tax this year. 47% of Americans paid no income tax at all.
It's astounding.
And the vast majority of those received a check back from the federal government as a redistribution of wealth.
And you know, John, I saw a corresponding news story to that said that about that same number of people thought that they paid the right amount in to the federal government.
They were asked,
how do you feel about the amount that you paid? And they said, oh, I think it was a good amount. It's almost the same amount that didn't pay anything.
Exactly.
That's correct. Yeah. But when we get into this, we develop an entitlement mindset that the government, rather than God, becomes our provider. And when we begin to look to the government as our source, rather than God, we no longer become one nation under God. We become one nation under the man that is running the government, or the men and women that are running the government, and we move away from God's plan and God's purpose for our lives, and that is to look to him as our source and our provider of all that we have need of.
100% agreed. Hey, we just have a couple of moments left. I wanted to ask you, you're a financial advisor. You're obviously one of the top financial advisors in the Christian Financial Advisor Network. I got to ask you, what are you seeing? You know, just want to get the pulse real quick. What is it like among your clients right now? What are clients really worried about right now? Are they still worried about inflation? What are some of the concerns you're seeing among your clients right now?
There remains a couple of fears, Jerry, that we're seeing and the folks that we talk with through the Christian Financial Advisors Network. One being a concern that this uptick in the market is artificial. They believe that inflation is just around the corner and that inflation is going to be bad. They believe that they're going to see the market have another downturn. They're concerned about the collapse of the dollar. We're seeing a lot of folks moving out of the markets, moving into gold, moving into silver, especially silver, since silver, as you've discussed in some of your dialogue via DVD and radio and in your books, about the fact that silver is not only collected, it is also consumed. And the demand for silver is rapidly increasing. Folks that are concerned about a barter economy like silver, because it's smaller denomination than gold, and should they have to barter for goods and services, silver makes a very valuable asset in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of folks that are concerned about diversifying outside the United States and investing outside the United States. And just a quick look, we were looking at global forecast. The United States is expected to grow at about 3%, Canada at 10%, South Korea at 5%, Brazil at 5%, India at 8.1%. So people are looking to go where there's opportunity and value. They're not seeing it in the United States right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there remains a lot of fear.
So money,
there remains a lot of concern.
Money always flows at the rate of highest return. It's just an old economic principle, you know?
Yes, sir.
Well, John, it's been a great thing to have you on the program. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. And if people would like to learn more about you or about the work you've done or the book that you've written, how can they get in touch with you?
A couple of different ways they can get a hold of me. They can visit our securities website, highstreetsecurities.com. I also maintain a Bible eschatology website called revelationfiles.com. We share our Money Matters newsletter every week that goes out with a lot of information and a lot of tidbits on what's going on in the world and the economic fray that's happening around us. They're welcome to subscribe to those free newsletters and find out what we're doing there. So a couple of different ways they can contact us.
Excellent. John, thanks for having taken time out, and we really appreciate you. We'll have you back on the show soon.
All right, Jerry, that was a great interview. All right, coming up after the break, Jerry has some exciting news about the Follow the Money quarterly newsletter. Stick around. You definitely don't want to miss it. And you're listening to The Jerry Robinson Show.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop.
Hi, friends. This is Jerry Robinson, your host here at The Jerry Robinson Show. I've just finished taping our latest DVD entitled Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis. After putting this DVD together, I have to tell you, I believe this is probably the best DVD presentation that we've ever done here at our ministry. It's an hour long, but we have jam-packed this DVD with so much information. Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis. It contains the freshest data on the U.S. financial crisis, and it's filled with our most up-to-date strategies and forecasts. Additionally, in this DVD, I specifically talk about diversifying your savings according to our allocation model that we use here at JRMI. You will not believe the historic returns that we discovered as we back-tested our savings recommendations. If your goal is to understand and profit from the current economic chaos, look no further. For the entire month of April, this brand new DVD, Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis, will be on sale at our website, jrmi.org, for only $19.95, and that's free shipping. We never charge for shipping at our store. We hate paying for shipping. We figure you do too. So $19.95, free shipping, or for just $10 more, you can get this brand new DVD, Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis, plus our latest webinar, the webcast that we tape. It's about 2 hours long. It's called The State of the Economy, Forecasting the Future. If you do not have a chance to participate in this webinar, you'll know that they are actually $29 to $39 each. Well, with this special, it's only $10 to add to this new DVD. So basically, for $29.95, you get a copy of our latest DVD and this webinar. This webinar contains lots of information, also lots of Q&A. Questions that you might actually want to ask personally are actually answered in this webinar. $29.95, our latest DVD, Biblical Solutions to America's Economic Crisis, and our latest webinar, The State of the Economy, Forecasting the Future. It's an excellent deal. I urge you to act now. Contact us at 918-827-5764 or log on to our website at jrmi.org.
All right, welcome back to the Jerry Robinson Show on the web at www.jrmi.org. Now it's time for Jerry's special sneak preview at the brand new FTM Quarterly Newsletter. Jerry, I'm really excited about this new quarterly newsletter. It's jam-packed with vital information for surviving and thriving in these economic times.
Yeah, I mean, this I think I've talked about this a couple of times, Jay. The Follow the Money Quarterly newsletter is something that I am very, very, very excited to be sharing with our ministry partners. For months, and I would say probably even for years, I have been urged by friends and even associates to create a newsletter because many people feel that all this information that is out there, it cannot be captured in a one-hour program every single week. It can't even be captured in a book or even in articles that are put up on the web. We really need something that is very analytical. It covers a lot of trends and analysis, and this is the avenue or the vehicle, I think, that is going to provide many people with some very, very, very key trends, strategies, analysis to help them in their investing, to help them in their mindset about all this information. We're going to be tackling some very difficult topics, I think, and making them very simple. You know, one of the things we heard from many people who read our book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation, was the fact that we took very difficult topics like the Federal Reserve and modern money mechanics, how money is created and printed, and peak oil and the petrodollar system, all these really difficult, almost boring topics to some people.
Really almost nebulous to the average Joe.
Sure. And we broke them down to a level where people could actually just, they're bite-sized. People can understand them. They're just simple.
You put it in layman's terms, and that's what we all need. We need for it to be understandable.
And many people know, they know right now that China is hot. They know that precious metals are hot. They know that other currencies exist. They know that there's other places to be saving. There's other places to be investing. They just don't know what to do, you know? And they get conflicting advice from everywhere they turn. They hear this, and then they hear this. This Follow the Money Quarterly is going to be, number one, biblically based. We're going to come from that from a biblical worldview. Number two, we're going to use in-depth analysis of various different topics to help people understand. I want to give you a preview, Jay, of some of the things that are coming up in this very first inaugural issue being released in the month of April, the FTM Quarterly. By the way, we call it FTM Quarterly, Follow the Money Quarterly, because you never pay attention to what they say. Right, you listen to what they say, obviously, and it's important. But if you really want to know the truth, you follow the money.
You got to follow that money trail.
You follow the money trail. So they may say this, but they may be doing this. And actions obviously always speak louder than words. I love what the old, I forget the fellow's name, but he was an old psychologist. He said, Alfred Adler, he said, trust movement. Trust movement. That's all you can trust.
I like that.
Trust movement. Yeah, you know, words, obviously, they can wag their tongues all day long, but trust the movement. And so that's why we say follow the money. Now, the I want to give you a real quick preview of some of the things that are going to be in this very first inaugural issue. One of the articles that we have deals with lithium. Many people don't understand the actual metal lithium, and it is a very interesting.
Well, it's what they make batteries out of for, like, cell phones.
Make batteries out of it. It's a very unique property. It's obviously highly reactive. It can hold a charge longer than almost any other metal. It's obviously in lithium-ion batteries, which are mainly most of the rechargeable batteries around the world. We do an in-depth discussion of lithium and show some of the most amazing things that people probably haven't even heard of about lithium and why we believe that it could be what we call the new oil. Is lithium the new or the next oil? So we're going to get into a very interesting article on that one. We also talk about new currency trading regulations. Some of our readers or some of our listeners actually trade currencies, or they trade stocks, or they trade bonds or whatever. Well, this particular article happens to do with currency trading and new regulations. Very interesting article about that coming out of the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission. We also have a very, very intriguing article on our DSL savings approach. We talk about a DSL savings allocation. DSL obviously stands for diversified, 6 month, and liquid. We talk about the importance of saving 15% of your money and then diversifying that money, having 6 months liquidity at all times, and keeping it liquid. We show how if you had followed our savings philosophy, our savings approach over the last 20 years, what you would have seen.
I've seen this presentation. It made me mad when I thought about my my savings.
Absolutely. And we show the difference between undiversified savings and then diversified savings. I'll give you a hint. If you had used the allocation that we had shown from 2004 to 2008, the return on your savings was 44%. That's ridiculous. From 1999 through 2008, the savings allocation that we advocate, 79%. That's savings. That's not even investments. That's savings. 1990 through 2008, return on our DSL savings approach, 68%. Are you earning that kind of interest or that type of return on your savings? Now, there's no way to guarantee this in the future, but just based upon where we are in the whole investment cycle and where we are, obviously, in the commodities cycle, it's very, very key and important to be paying attention to how you can diversify not only your investments, but your savings. And this article will go into depth and show you how we have actually created a savings allocation that can help you get a better return. And really, that's not even the goal, Jay. We weren't trying to give a better return with the savings allocation. We were trying to protect purchasing power. That's all we wanted to do. We simply wanted to avoid inflation. But what happened was we also actually got an upside investment return on it as well.
Yeah, it's always nice when you get some unexpected returns when you're just trying to protect yourself.
Little fringe benefits. So how was that allocated? You've got to get a copy of this to see it. I highly urge you to check that out on the FTM Quarterly, the brand new issue. We also have an update on the Federal Reserve in this FTM Quarterly, a scathing piece on the Federal Reserve, by the way.
My favorite entity.
Sure. And we also have now this is interesting. We have a chart that lists the national debt by president since Ronald Reagan. Very surprising what we see in this chart, and I think that our readers will enjoy that. We also have a piece about the Iraqi dinar. Many people have been asking us, is the Iraqi dinar a good place to be? We provide a pretty good balanced piece here, I think, that's going to bring some good insight.
We had a really great guest interview a few weeks ago with Marcus Curtis about that.
We sure did. And he actually co-wrote this article with me, and so it's a really good article I think people will enjoy. We also, I have an article in there called 5 Reasons Why I Believe Silver Will Outshine Gold in the Long Run. I've got to tell you, this article, I put a lot of effort into this. If this one article alone is worth the money, because this information that we're putting out is highly, highly, highly important for people to understand right now. So we have 5 reasons why I believe silver will outshine gold in the long run. And then we also have in the newsletter an in-depth look at the economy over the last quarter with some of the leading economic indicators. And we also have a news summary from some of the most pressing headlines over the last 3 months. Jay, I'm telling you what, this is a highly important newsletter. I'm very proud of it. I'm very glad to get it out. We've had a lot of subscribers already, people signing up saying, I got to get a copy of that. And so I've got to tell you, Jay, I'm really excited. We're going to be releasing it this month, and I can't wait for it to get out there.
Oh, it's huge. And Jerry, can you give us just a crumb, just one of the reasons you believe silver is going to outperform gold as an investment?
You know, if I did that, all the people who subscribe would probably be mad, so I'm not going to do that at all. But I tell you what, if they want that, they got to subscribe. And it's not very expensive, Jay. I mean, it's not very expensive at all. In fact, if they want to simply partner with our ministry and say, listen, we believe in what you're doing. We believe in the message that you have, and we believe God's people need to be understanding the times. They can simply get this, just simply by standing with us with a small gift of support each month.
All right, folks, you heard it. If you want your very own copy of the FTM Quarterly with the information about the five reasons silver is going to outperform gold, personal financial strategies for thriving in these economic times, economic trends, analysis, and insights, please call 918-827-5764 and ask for the FTM Quarterly newsletter. It's just $129 per year, or you can join the 300 Club for just $25 per month. And the FTM Quarterly is included along with archived access to all of the JRMI webinars. That's a $80 per webinar
value
right there. Uh-huh. A signed copy of Jerry's book, The Bankruptcy of Our Nation. It's the best economic book I've ever read. I could actually understand it. And a 20% discount on all JRMI products on the in the web store there at www.jrmi.org. So call now. That number again is 918-827-5764. Or you can order on the web at www.jrmi.org. All right. Coming up after this break, our weekly segments on the road to a one-world currency and the question of the week. You're listening to The Jerry Robinson Show.
Hi, friends. This is Jerry Robinson. I trust that you appreciate our hard-hitting Christian approach to today's economic, geopolitical, and cultural news each and every week right here on The Jerry Robinson Show. You know, every week my staff and I are hard at work to bring you the most cutting-edge insights to help you understand the times that we're living in. As you know, the Bible instructs us to understand the times, and Jesus even tells us to watch and be sober as we see the day of the Lord at hand. As we look around, most of us find our present-day situation simply breathtaking. And I believe that we are living in truly prophetic times that the Bible speaks directly about. Here at the Jerry Robinson Show, we have a great vision to see God's truth about our generation and our unique times spread across the nation through the radio airwaves. But in order for this important message to wake up our sleeping nation, we simply must have your help. In 2010, we have plans to get this program into several large radio markets right here in the U.S. and even globally. Will you stand with us in our effort to get the truth of God's Word out to America and to the world? Never before in our nation's history have hard-hitting, truth-telling, God-fearing ministries been so important to our collective future. We simply must go forth with the truth. I ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner with our ministry with a gift of only $25 per month. You can make your pledge by calling our ministry hotline at 918-827-5764, or you can log on to our website and donate online. Our website is www.jrmi.org. Friends, become a part of the solution and help us confront the lies of this age. Call now, 918-827-5764, or log on to our website at www.jrmi.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you in your gift. Welcome back to The Jerry Robinson Show. I'm your host, Jerry Robinson. Here we are at the very final segment of The Jerry Robinson Show. What a great show we've had today. Thank you for joining us and being with us. You can always hop on to our website at www.jrmi.org and check out all kinds of free resources. We have our free webinars every single month. We have archived radio shows that are available for your use and your pleasure. We also have articles that you can find, a blog, online store. We have news on our front page. I mean, we have just tons of free resources on our website.
And you can even get the show on iTunes as a podcast.
You sure can, absolutely. Just simply go to our website, jrmi.org, and learn all about our ministry. And obviously, as we mentioned before in the previous segment, we are a listener-supported program. If it's something that you desire, you want to stand with us, and you believe in this message, we appreciate every single partner that comes along and stands
absolutely,
with us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, anyway, well, we're going to continue on with our final segment. We have all every single Jerry Robinson show, we end with two segments. First of all, the road to the one world currency, and second of all, the question of the week. And we're going to go ahead and move on right now with the road to the one world currency.
All right. This week's road to the one world currency, the IMF calls for a global bank tax. The International Monetary Fund says that banks should pay a special tax on their profit and compensation to finance any future bailouts that are needed in Group of 20 nations. In a preliminary report to the G20, the IMF also recommends that banks pay a tax on their liabilities outside of deposits. Measures that impose new costs on financial institutions will need to reflect and be coordinated with regulatory changes under consideration, the report says, according to Bloomberg. Now, Jerry, if the IMF is given the power to impose a global tax, doesn't that seem to speed up the timetable for a one-world currency?
It's certainly going to get us there quicker, Jay. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think that we've tried to pound over and over into people's minds through this radio program is the fact that, and of course, this is very common in Christian circles. You'll often hear Christian ministers, pastors, even Christians say, well, you know, the one world currency is just right around the corner. You know, tomorrow we could see a one world currency. It could happen any minute. Well, the truth of the matter is we are so far away from implementing a one world currency. It's not even funny. I mean, and case in point is look at the dollar. I mean, look at the euro. Look at these failed currencies that are trying to be propped up. Imagine just implementing one. I mean, they can't even manage one over one country. Okay, so having a whole global one world currency all of a sudden overnight, that's fairy tale. Okay, what they have to do is they have to figure out a way to begin to control the globe financially. And through things like this, through measures like this, they begin to get a control or a stronghold on the globe. And so here is the IMF basically calling for a global bank tax. This is seeking to regulate the global financial institutions. It's a regulation, so to speak, basically a financial activities tax. It's what they often call the FAT, right, as opposed to the VAT. As John Terry was talking about earlier, the value-added tax, this would be a financial activities tax.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them is a good idea, personally.
Well, you know, this FAT tax, which will be based on the profits and the pay structure of the firms, is basically a global tax upon financial activity that will be levied by the IMF. And, of course, this type of global levy is the first step, as you mentioned, towards global oversight of financial activity. And global oversight is the very first step that's needed to begin implementing a global currency. So they have to get a hold of, they have to begin setting global regulations. Right now, the U.S. operates on very different regulations than the EU. And the EU operates on very different financial regulations than China. So any type of one world currency is completely a fairy tale right now because, again, there has to be a lot more groundwork laid. The infrastructure is being prepared. It is being laid out. This IMF call for a global bank tax is putting us one more step in that direction, Jay.
Well, yeah, you got to build the highway before you can drive on it, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and looks like it's time for our question of the week. All right, it says here, Jerry, I read in your book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation, that money is debt. And I'm still a little confused. It just doesn't make sense to me. Can you please explain what you mean by that?
You know, that's a great question. In chapter, I believe it's chapter 12 of Bankruptcy of Our Nation, we have a chapter called Modern Money Mechanics. And the way the chapter begins is by saying money is debt and debt is money. And that's a very unreasonable thing, I think, to try to get people to believe without providing some sort of explanation. It's hard to believe that the dollar bill that's in your pocket is actually a debt instrument. But when you really think about it, you realize that it has to be. In fact, every single dollar bill in existence is a piece of debt. And you think, now, why in the world would I go to work and work for 40 hours a week, maybe at a job or something, and get a paycheck in dollar bills and work for debt? Imagine if I told you this. Imagine if I said, Jay, I want you to come work for my restaurant, okay? And I want you to come work for my restaurant, and I'm going to pay you, and your paycheck is basically that you're going to be able to pay off part of my credit card loan, okay? And you're going to say, where do I sign, right?
I think I work to get out of my own debt.
Right. So the idea is why in the world would anybody work for debt, right? That's not a good idea. Well, in essence, when people accept dollar bills as payment for their labor, they are accepting pieces of debt for their labor, okay?
Pieces of the American government's debt, right?
Absolutely. Now, and actually the American government's debt is our debt, right? Because we're obviously the ones who the burden is placed upon. So let's figure out how all this works and why that's true. Well, first of all, the United States dollar is printed and made available by the Federal Reserve at the request of the U.S. Treasury. When the Congress needs to get money, what it does is it goes to the Treasury and says, we need to issue bonds. The bonds are then taken to an auction and they're sold. Whatever bonds don't sell, maybe to the China or maybe to Japan or to Europe or, you know, whoever buys bonds, whatever bonds don't sell, the Federal Reserve actually has to buy because they're the lender of last resort. And when they buy them, they don't take any hard-earned money from their pockets and buy it. They actually go to the printing press, hit the on button, and then give the money to the Treasury so they create new money.
Well, I wish I could pay my debts that way.
Me too. And so think about this now for a minute. Every dollar bill that's in existence has been created by whom?
The Federal Reserve.
Now, when the Federal Reserve creates a dollar bill, it gives it to the government. Now, the Federal Reserve is a bank, right? It's a private bank. And last time we checked, banks operate on what? They operate on interest. So whenever they accept a bond in return for a dollar bill, they're saying what? You owe us interest on this, right?
It's a dollar plus.
Mm-hmm, a dollar plus. So every dollar bill that is in circulation has attached to it interest that has to be paid back to the Federal Reserve. Every dollar bill has interest that's owed on it. It is a piece of debt. It is a debt obligation.
Just doesn't seem right. I mean, Bernie Madoff's in jail, but these guys are out there just doing whatever they want.
Money itself is debt. Now, what is the difference? Well, let's think about this. Is gold debt? No, right? There's nothing that's owed on that, right?
Right.
It has intrinsic value. It's mined from the earth.
It's a chunk of shiny metal.
Chunk of shiny metal. How about silver? The same way. It's been viewed as money for 4,000 years, right?
Exactly.
And there's nothing that's owed on it. It's simply intrinsically valuable, and it is a piece of natural resources from the earth. But paper money, our founding fathers knew the evils of paper money. They knew about this since time immemorial. And they have warned us from the grave now, even as we read their writings, about paper money and how it's destroyed empires all throughout history. And here we are now with a debt-based monetary system that is fueling an illusion of prosperity. We think that we're rich, but in truth, we really have a paper empire. There's no doubt that we've been able to buy lots of things with our paper money, but eventually the game runs out. It's like a game of musical chairs. Eventually the people realize that they're trading their hard-earned labor or they're trading their hard-made goods for pieces of paper. And when the paper fiat economy comes to a screeching halt, people are hurt. That is why it is so vital for God's people to understand how all this works, to not be caught off guard. The Bible says that we're sons of light. We're not sons of darkness, that day should overtake us like a thief when it talks about Christ coming. And I think that even applies to the ways of the world. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us that the children of this world are in many ways wiser than the children of our God. And that is because, for whatever reason, they're wise to the ways of the world. I think that it's important for God's people to not be naive about all of this, not assume, as John Terry said earlier, that the government is going to take care of us. Instead, we need to turn to God. And the Bible says, the gold and silver are mine, says the Lord. He tells us exactly what money is and what money is not in his word. And if people will continue listening to our program, continuing following our ministry, we're dedicated to teaching you about these very, very important topics. Jay?
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jerry, I think we had a great program this week.
I do too.
You know, lots and lots of great information. And again, folks, if you want to get more information about the Jerry Robinson Show and about Jerry Robinson Ministries, go to www.jrmi.org on the web, and you can call and order that newsletter, the FTM Quarterly, at 918-827-5764. I don't know why I get that mixed up every time.
Hey, Jay, I'm glad you're feeling better this week.
Oh, feeling great. Thanks, Jerry.
And you know what? Next week I'll be out of town doing a TV show, and Jay is going to be sitting in my chair, and he's going to be hosting the whole entire program, so be praying for him and pray for his health as he recovers. And we look forward to seeing you next week right here on the Jerry Robbins Show. Until then, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you ever need will be added to you.
Amen.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests of the Jerry Robinson Show do not necessarily represent the views of Jerry Robinson Ministries International Incorporated and Makers Group Financial LLC. Even though these are proven strategies, Jerry Robinson is not a financial advisor and his guests are not legal or tax advisors. You should always consult a trained financial advisor and/or tax advisor before making any financial decisions.